The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Second episode, part two, technical difficulties and big ol' poopies. It's, you know, the way things work sometimes. It's the way the dookie crumbles. Oh. Anyways, hello, we're back. It's part two. If you have not yet gone through and watched, listened to part one, press pause. Do that. We'll wait here in podcast time, which means we're going to be frozen until you come back. But in real time, we will be doing life, other things.
This podcast.
But we won't not be thinking of you. So, but anyways.
I also have to reference this because I know you were hoping this wouldn't happen, but it has unfortunately happened. Multiple people have reached out to be like, I cannot find these episodes on YouTube.
Yeah, I think
Carmen spoke too soon.
It's okay. It's okay. We will.
We do still hope to figure it out.
I'm having a hard time getting the files to sync up with the audio. So
if you're listening and you know how to do that, help us.
Yes.
If you're not, now you know why it's not on YouTube.
Yeah. But it's hard when there is two separate audio files and two separate video files.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot to get to sync up together. And iMovies isn't great either. So anyways, with that being said, hello. My name is Carmen. This is Kelsey. It's Beautiful Dates for a podcast. We're incredible. You're incredible. That's all I got. Kelsey,
let's start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
Beautiful.
Nice. Remember when I did that in person?
I did. One person.
Aaron.
No.
You're a fucking liar. Are you serious? No?
Do you know him from another Shonda show?
No, but I was hoping he was going to be in private practice for another crossover or something. Oh. Gosh, fuck. The dude with the mustache. The husband.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Michael O'Neill plays Gary Clark. He's in 5 episodes of Scandal. And when I tell you, I don't remember who he is in Scandal, but he was in the last 5 episodes of Scandal. His name was Lonnie.
He was the guy who was working with Cyrus on the...
To take down B613? To try and reveal that it existed?
No. He was the guy that when David Rosen recused himself, he was the associate, the B team attorney general.
I believe you. And I also believe that this just means I need to go back and have another Scandal rewatch. It's been
spoilers. Spoilers. Skip ahead. This is a big spoiler. Remember, he kills himself in one of the last episodes.
Literally so many people on that fucking show.
Kills himself. The whole reason that he was trying to take down Cyrus was because his kid died of gun violence. And he wanted gun reform or something like that. He killed himself.
I don't remember, but I believe you.
In front of Olivia.
I'm not arguing with you. I just do not remember this at all.
Yeah.
I will say I've rewatched Scandal all the way through. Probably once, but I've rewatched a lot of the early seasons multiple times.
Well, that show definitely took a weird turn.
Yeah, when she gets skip ahead.
Skip it. Keep on skipping.
I did not like that.
Everything about that storyline was fucking shit.
It was not for me.
Absolute dookie butt.
Also, when Fitz was just dating other people.
No, I like that storyline. That's like the kind of president I would be.
Actively, like, not dating Olivia and was fully divorced, but was just, like, going on dates.
And just fucking.
I was like, I mean, like, I'm glad you're getting it in, but, like, don't you have other things to do other than, like, be America's bachelor?
No, that's what the president's job is.
Oh, then I guess
that's what Trump taught us.
Oh, that man taught us very little.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Let's talk about this podcast. Let's talk about Grey's Anatomy. We have a lot to cover. But speaking of bachelors, we should probably start with everyone's favorite part of the episode. Mark and Teddy boning each other's booties.
Pound cake.
Pounding each other's cake.
Pound caking. I pounded hers. We're pound cake. Excellent pound caking.
Excellent pound caking.
So that's good.
I like... So we get that the introduction of that particular storyline because Callie and Arizona are still being weird around each other. Arizona walks up and like, I want pound cake. Yum, yum, yum. And Mark is like, is that a euphemism for fucking?
And Callie's like, no. Mark's, that was the most boring conversation anyone's ever had in the history of the world. And then Callie's like, oh, yeah, well, we're talking about pound cake because we're not talking about how we want different things in life. So basically, she switches it to Mark talking about him and Teddy. And it was really good. And what I really like about this is sometimes I feel like in shows when it's one person like raving about how good the sex was, they cut to the other person and they're like, it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
But I love that was not the case here. Teddy and she's like, he's a legend for a reason. I'm like, yes, Mark. Yes.
I taught him everything he knows.
A party in your panties.
Panties. So when Callie does change the subject, mm-hmm. And she's like, you like how I changed the subject to ask you about Teddy instead of this shit show that is me and Arizona. The smirk on Mark's face is so cute and so funny.
I was having a similar thing when just like the two of them walking and talking.
Yeah.
I just loved that moment. It wasn't like super long, but I was like, I just love their friendship and like seeing that moment of the two of them like at the coffee cart talking and then like walking through the halls talking. 10 out of 10. Love it.
Absolutely. And I like how they made pound caking is a verb now. We're pound caking. That is.
We're back to a good episode for Mark.
Yeah, he had a bit of a streak there.
I love it.
So, when they're having that scene, it's kind of adjacent, but when Arizona's she's like so proud of herself for coming up with party in your panties. But then Hunt walks in and she's like, oh, Mr. Grumpy Goose. And that's when Teddy is like,
Grumpy Goose. Grumpy Goose. Pout fish.
Yeah. Oh, the fucking pout pout fish with a pout pout face. Spreading the dreary wearies. I can quote that book and it's sad. But yeah, then Teddy kind of starts the door wide open for the rest of this episode. And I feel like this is a good time to talk about maybe Hunt and this other storyline, but she's like, yeah, Hunt's going through shit and Christina can't talk to him about it and I can't be there for him, but I'm with Mark. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of unresolved. I didn't understand. So.
Yep. I would agree. It's kind of unresolved. I mean, she's just saying like, normally she would be there for him, but because of what's gone on lately with the two of them, she can't.
Yeah.
And then...
Can't
like
and shan't.
Can't in a way that because she can't be there because she wasn't there, which I mean, I will say Teddy says like, it's not her fault. She just like doesn't understand it the way that someone who went through it understands it.
Yeah.
It's
true.
So, and I will say at the beginning of the episode, Christina's like, Owen, have you talked to Dr. Wyatt? And he's like, murr,
speaking murr, of murr, therapy. Murr. Oh, Kelsey's caulking. Yep. I said caulking. I meant coughing.
Yeah, I was coughing. Thank you, though.
Not caulking.
That.
I need to caulk. I need to do some caulking around here.
Okay.
Caulking.
Caulking?
Caulking.
Caulking or caulking? Or caulking? Guys, you can't see it because it's an audio podcast, but I just did several very different hand motions.
Were you here for that conversation?
Yeah.
Gosh,
with you and so, Jessica. Why were we doing that?
I don't know. Because we're insane.
There was a fourth option, too.
No, it was caulking, cocking.
And cocking.
And cocking. It's fine. We were all saying the same thing. Anyways, all right. Yes. So why don't you start taking it away for the Christina Hunt Teddy storyline, which will lead us into another storyline.
So yeah, Owen's going through it, I guess, but still because of the patient last week who was the doctor assisted suicide. And so he's still like, I guess, processing it, and it's sent him back to what happened with his platoon. And what, you know, happened with him letting Dan die, and then the saving happening after. And so he's like back in that, and he doesn't want to talk about it. And Christina, to her credit, is definitely trying to talk to him about it without like trying to push him or being forceful. But he's in a dark place, is what she says to Meredith. Hunt's still in his dark place. And so he is, but the lack of processing emotion is resulting, as it often does, in anger and like shortness with those around him, which is unfair. And we see
it seems to really only be directed towards Christina, though. Most notably towards Christina.
Episode only Christina, which is unfair. There's just so much hostility. Okay. So Christina gets paged to the ER, and there's a gunshot, a police officer with a gunshot wound. She was in a shootout with three suspects. So she comes in. She's just been shot in like her abdomen and chest area, but she's like in pretty good shape for
someone who has multiple
gunshot wounds. Like, I'm very baffled by this.
Yeah, this was kind of crazy. Also, it was just the worst possible timing for all this, because she comes in, she seems to be fine. The lieutenant walks in and he's like, "You're suspended."
Yeah.
The woman is dying.
She's
question
shot.
Mark.
She's been shot. She's already medically unstable. You're going to come in and be like, "Also, you're in trouble with work." I don't feel like that should be her priority, but you're a cop, so.
You went in without backup, you dumb idiot.
He's like, "You were told to wait for backup." And she's like, "Well, I heard shots, so I went in," which is something, you know, we would have liked to have seen from other police officers sometimes.
Which yep.
We won't get into, but it's how I feel. And so. Yeah, he comes in. He sucks. The husband's there and he's like, "Why won't you just let these people save you? Like, you're so worried about proving that you don't need to get fired when all you ever do is lie to me and tell me that you're going to be detective. And then you always do something to like make sure you don't get the promotion because you like want this adrenaline rush, basically." I feel very bad for her husband.
I feel like there's more to the story, but what they're telling us is not painting a good picture.
It seems to me like she says, "When I get promoted to detective, like it'll be a safer job with like more stable hours. And then we can like start our family." And then it also seems like she's actively doing things she knows will prevent her from getting a promotion every time she gets close to getting the promotion.
Yeah, we also get a sad kind of closure, but the rug kind of falls out from
again.
Yeah, another unresolved situation here. But anyways, I digress. Okay.
So, yeah, they have to go in and do the surgery. in the surgery, for whatever reason, these bullets are like not normal bullets.
They're called, what are they, decimators or
something like that?
Hold on, I've got it here somewhere. It's a bullet that's made to basically just cause a shit devastators.
Devastator. Yeah, I was like, it starts with a D. So yeah, it's a devastator. So it explodes on impact.
And it's supposed to replicate shrapnel. Yeah. And it has chemicals on it too that we find out later.
Isn't exploded. So the one by her heart. So Christina is like, oh, there's another bullet by her heart and she's bleeding. So I'm going to stop the bleeder. And this all happens so fast. And this is where I get really frustrated at Owen, is because it all happens very quickly. He's like, don't. And she's already doing it, because as a surgeon, why would she not do that? Right. She's trained. If there's a bleed, stop the bleeder. This is not the bomb situation. I don't think it's explained clearly that like these bullets are still potentially live ammunition. I think Christina's like, it's bleeding, I've got it. She's already in there. It's not like she says, it's bleeding, I'll get it, and then like leaves and goes to get something whilst Owen is saying, no, don't. So it all happens within like a split second. She says, I'll get it. So she goes to get the bleeder, not the bullet. And the heat from the cauterizer sets the bullet off. So it explodes like into this woman's heart, which like, honestly, the fact that this woman lived, again, it's mind blowing.
Yeah.
Like she is, it's wild.
And
also,
the thing
I
that
was confused why Callie was there for any of this.
Maybe bone damage.
Yeah, I don't know.
It is unclear. It's so that whole thing takes place so quickly.
Yeah.
From the time that she says, I've got a bleeder, to the time that it ruptures is crazy. Hunt majorly overreacts.
Yeah, and he's throwing, let it go.
Yeah, he's throwing things around like, when there's artillery going on, you do not disobey direct orders from your commanding officer. And Christina's like,
I'm not in the army. You're not my commanding officer.
And I do think that there is something to be said about the subordinate and like the person who's in charge of that OR, that
especially
relationship
in
there.
In a situation where it is technically still a teaching hospital. So they are still like,
correct,
in the learning phase of their career.
But the way Hunt handles it is not garbage. The way that a teacher should be teaching their subordinate or the attending teaches their residents. That's not what's happening. Christina makes a choice and there is almost no time in between her saying, I got it, and then them saying no. It's very quick, and she's being punished.
Well,
not even
Callie
punished, but being, she's being yelled at.
For her. Callie's like, I would have done the same fucking thing. Can you just fix this? And then Teddy is like, it doesn't matter why this happened. It's happened. We have to fix it, or this woman's going to die.
Does Teddy say, like, Hunt, let it go? Like, is that something that she says there, or what? What is she saying?
The second time he brings it up, when he's like, oh, it didn't help that this fucking bullet went off inside of her chest. Then Teddy says, like, not now, or leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I think we should pause and come back, because we get this scene where it's Teddy, Hunt, Callie, Christina, and I think Jackson's in this scene.
Oh yeah, Jackson's also in the surgery.
And Christina makes fun of the husband for wanting a boring life. Mm-hmm. And then Teddy says, you can't have a kid when you're getting shot at because it messes with your head. And then Callie's like, well, is that why you didn't have kids? And then we get a little background from Teddy where she says, mm-hmm. well, first it was med school, then it was Iraq, and now it's waiting for the right guy.
Yeah.
So Teddy wants kids. Christina does not.
Which is not surprising.
It's
more surprising to me that Callie is surprised.
Yeah. Well, but then Teddy shoots a look to Owen, which is leading me to believe that Owen wants a family. Mm-hmm. And obviously Teddy does, but Christina doesn't. And Teddy is looking at Owen like, dude, what are you going to do? Yeah. So I think that it's important to reference that scene because it does seem to be causing... They're building a rift between Teddy, not Teddy, Christina and Owen.
Yeah.
I think they're setting them up for a breakup. That's what I think.
Okay, and then what?
And then...
Because Teddy's still sleeping with Mark.
Then I think Teddy, Mark, and Owen all join a relationship, a throuple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's been a while since you've pitched one of those.
Well, you know, I'm feeling revitalized by...
Owen and Mark, interesting pairing.
Well, the girl is the glue.
So, yuck. Yeah.
So, fast forward. The scene where it actually goes off, where they have all the bleeding. Mm-hmm. Or, no, that happens afterwards. So, they get the bleeding, and... So then there's another bleed and they're like, what the fuck is going on? And Callie, that's when she mentions about the shit the with the uterine artery.
And then, that's when Owen says, if we hadn't been distracted by artillery in the OR, we might've found this bleed earlier. And that's when Teddy says, not now. And then after Bitch. That, it cuts to them scrubbing out. Christina goes in and Owen's like, and just leaves.
Doesn't even throw his gloves away. Just leaves them on top of the garbage can. Did you notice that?
No, but I believe you.
Yeah.
He's too busy slamming.
I just want to call out. When they first were trying to figure out where the blood situation was coming from and things were like clotting and clogging everything up, they're physically scooping the blood out of this woman. Yeah. That was nuts.
They've definitely done that before because every time they do it, I'm like, that's gross.
It is gross. I don't think I've noticed that before.
There was one episode specifically, I want to say it was more recently, that they're like, it was maybe like a clot, like a blood clot that was going to the lung. Mm. And it's because they're like, oh, just pull it out. And I remember them. It was like this, like the size of whoever pulled it out's fist.
Mm.
I remember it vividly.
Mm. I remember that. Yes. If you find it, let me know.
I will.
All right. So continue. Sorry.
So Teddy comes in and was like, that was our fault. We were speaking shorthands. We forget that you guys don't like know all this stuff about ballistics. And Christina's like, you know, no, it's not just that. It's not like just now. It's not like he is not in a good spot. And Teddy's like, oh, he's just been through so much, which is true. Like, again, I'm not taking that away. He really has. And Christina's like, well, it's not like he talks about it. And Teddy's like, well, he can't. Well, okay, but so where are we? I'm supposed to just like stand here and let this person treat me like shit because they can't process their own emotions? Is that fair? No.
No, it's not. And then she's like, yeah, I want him to go to Dr. Wyatt. And that's when Teddy's like, well, he's a man that way. Don't tell him what to do.
Yeah, that was annoying.
Yeah, that's... listen... I want to know exactly what to do all the time. Answer my questions.
Tell me what to do.
Yeah. But make sure you're telling me to do what I want to do. That helps. So Teddy is like, just let him figure it out himself. Tell him how you feel. And I
feel like you're an asshole.
Yeah. I feel like you need therapy.
Yeah, then we have the scene at the end when Christina goes home. Well, yeah.
No, before we'll that, let's go back to the end of the scene with the officer.
With the patient. Okay. So they tell Gina that they repaired all of her liver, intestine. Oh, here it is. She had a fractured hip. That's why Callie was there. They tell her that like everything was good. They got all the bullets, but there was the complication and they had to take out her uterus. They had to do a full hysterectomy. So she will no longer be able to carry a child. It's not the only way to have kids, but she will not be able to carry her own child, right. Which
they address.
Yes. They've been talking about having kids, but they haven't done it. And it's like when it goes from being something you kind of want, but are scared of to being something you can't have at all. I feel like those are very different things.
Yeah.
So then They go back later and Callie's like, you look good. You're going to be back at work. And they're like, nope, I'm going to quit. It's not worth this. Like, I love my job, but I love my husband, and we're going to quit and adopt 10 orphans. And they was like, great. And then the freaking cop comes in again and he's like, good
news. I did everything I could, which was enough.
Can't wait to get you back out there.
And then she gets swarmed by all the officers coming in to celebrate.
Excited.
And the husband is not, or the, is it husband or fiance?
Yeah, it's husband.
Husband. Yeah. He is not excited. He is big sad.
Although I will say I remembered him leaving and he did not leave. And in my memory, he left the room and I was like, oh, their marriage is over, which it might still be, but it's again, unclear.
Well, here's my truth. Here's my truth that the story, how the story ends. Okay. She goes back to the force after a leave of absence and gets the opportunity to hand in her resignation. She gets to go out on her own terms.
Well, that's what she was going to do.
Right, but if she was suspended, she couldn't have done that. Like, if she was fired for going in without backup, she wouldn't get that chance. So she's going to go in high on the hog, get her medal of accommodation, and then she'll quit, and they'll have their 8 little orphan babies.
I hope that's true. I also, maybe she just gets the opportunity to get promoted to detective. And doesn't maybe. Have to, and you know, they can carry on with their original plan.
Yep.
So, anyways, yeah, it's, but obviously this is paralleling Callie's desire for a child with Arizona's non-desire for a child, which we'll get to in a minute. So, Christina goes home, Owen is cooking, and she's like, oh, wow, you're making dinner, that's so nice. And he's like, it's just pasta. Okay, it's still a nice thing. Don't talk down about the nice things you do. Accept a compliment. And
that goes for all you listeners out there. Just accept the compliment.
And then he says, you said you don't want to have kids. And she says, oh, your sausage is burning. And he says, what? No. And then he freaks the fuck out, throws a very hot pan full of burnt sausage into the sink, like hurls it violently. Which
waste of perfectly good sausage.
Recoil, rightfully so, considering the history. And he like reaches out to her and she pulls back again. And he sees that and he's like, are you afraid of me? She's like, I don't want to be.
Which is truthful.
Which is where he goes, maybe I need therapy.
Mm.
And we all said, amen. And all God's people said, amen.
Yeah. The thing, there's a couple of things here. I want to say, ultimately, I'm very happy that Owen came to the conclusion that he needs to see Dr. Wyatt again. Although, I want to point out that Christina was in the wrong for reaching for the sausage. Let the sausage burn, if that's how he wants to make the sausage for his pasta. Don't touch a man's area when he's cooking.
That does not need to be gendered.
Yeah, okay, fine. Don't touch anyone's area where they're cooking. But I do want to put a little asterisk. Don't throw a hot flaming pan violently into the sink either, people. <That's>, there's a don't lot of wrongs that took place. The right happened at the end where she told him how she felt. She didn't mince words. And he ultimately got to the point of, I need therapy. But a lot of wrongs happened up there. A lot of wrongs happened leading up to
just
it.
Just like a lot of inappropriate reactions from Owen throughout the entire episode.
Absolutely. No justification on that.
So, good times. Good times, Owen.
Yeah, the sausage looked good to me, though.
Enjoy your therapy. Really?
I was ready to,
a little char, but it was like a little too much.
No, it looked like it was the perfect char. Are we going to get more sushi when we're back? Are we going to Sushi City?
We can get some sushi.
Some sushi.
Tiny bit.
And I need some fried chicken.
You want barbecue?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So
it's gonna be good stuff.
The end scene with Callie in Arizona. I think we could probably wrap up this particular part of the storyline because I don't think there's really much about.
Well, the conversation with Bailey and Callie, where she says, "When is the perfect time to have kids?"
Oh.
And Bailey says, "Never,"
which is true,
probably correct, unless you're like a billionaire.
Yeah. Well, if you're looking at it strictly from a financial standpoint, yeah, there's no correct time to have a kid unless you're very wealthy. But Bailey's point was about a lot of things. They said they are going to suck everything good from your life. You're never going to get sleep. You're going to be ugly. You're going to be tired. You're going to be fat.
Covered in poop.
Disgusting. Yeah, covered in feces. But when your kid learns how to pronounce words correctly, you will feel joy that you have never felt before in your entire life.
It's actually like, she's not wrong.
No, however, she's right.
There are times, like there are words that Scarlett says wrong. And I know in my heart when she says it correctly, I will be so sad.
Yeah.
Like she says Doc McMuffin, which is also funny because she's never been to McDonald's. She doesn't know what a McMuffin is.
Oh, we got to change that.
No, we really don't.
Oh.
I also don't know the last time I ate at a McDonald's, probably before Scarlett was born.
Marlo and I shared White Castle tonight for dinner.
Yeah, like when she starts saying that correctly, like I'll be proud of her and happy for her, but also so sad. And she used to say, like instead of I'm coming, she used to go, I'm pumming. Now she says I'm coming. And I'm like, oh, dang. So cute.
Yeah. Kids,
but Bailey is right. You also feel like proud when they like get something that they haven't gotten before.
Yeah. When she says irrational, unbridled joy, it is really so true.
Yeah. Pride is not the word I'm looking for. There is so much more inside me now. The song is really very accurate.
It is. I'll have to send you this video, but Jess discovered one of her friends from work sent her a video of a YouTube link to Dinosaur Park Yoga. And it's like a lady who's doing yoga on the screen in front of like a fake Jurassic Park, and it's doing little yoga, and like Marlo, they were doing it like right after dinner, and Marlo was like doing the fucking things, like that's she was so doing cute little yoga, and I'm like sitting there just smiling watching my little daughter do like downward dog, but it's actually they're doing a Diplodocus, like it's just so funny. And like, also, Marlo is fucking expensive. Like, we got to buy her new shoes because she ripped through her shoes that she has. And we have to buy her rain boots because she wore her regular shoes into a puddle. And, like, it's rainy season in Chicago. So.
Oh, these children. They do be pricey.
They do be. She was wearing a shirt that Scarlett gave her the other day.
Oh, was it the dinosaur one?
An Ariel one.
Oh, yeah, the Ariel one.
Yeah.
I was glad that fit.
It did. It was perfect. And you know what else is perfect? Hopefully. These words from our regional sponsors. If they're not perfect, though, don't blame us. Blame capitalism.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we are back. Thank you, capitalism. Buy something.
Or don't.
Yeah, or don't.
If you don't feel like buying something, you can just give us money directly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Phil, let's finish the Callie Arizona storyline.
So, yeah, at the end, Callie's there sitting there, and Arizona sits down, and she's like, well, awkward silence, I must fill. So she says, do you ever just wonder if, like, moisturizer actually works? Like, I don't even know what any of this stuff is. Like, listen to all these funny words I can't pronounce. Derp-a-derp-a-derp. And Callie's
which,
like,
you're a doctor. You can pronounce those words, Arizona
Callie's
Robbins.
Like, we're just not going to ignore this anymore. Like, we just have to talk about this. I want a baby and you don't. And maybe we should talk about what that actually means for our relationship, because it's probably a problem. So What do you think it means for their relationship?
It means they're saying they're broken up. Ooh,
so
child.
You think in the next episode they'll be broken up?
Next episode or the episode after that.
Okay.
Yeah, their relationship is kicking on death's door.
Knock, knock, knocking on death's door.
Nice.
Okay, so yeah, that's it for those two storylines, right?
I think so. Excuse me.
Let's discuss Rubber and April. Ugh, April. Ugh.
Mm. Ugh. April. This whole storyline with the guy, what are their names?
Their last name is Clark.
Clark.
Mr. and Mrs. Clark.
Mr. and Mrs. Clark and Weber and Derek and April and just fucking...
It's Allison and Gary. Allison Gary. And Gary. That's like some Midwestern names right there.
Yeah, that's about... That's it. Those are Indiana people. For sure.
Okay, so they come in. Allison was diagnosed with cancer, but it's like gone. But now they think it might be back. She passed out in the grocery store. Maybe Richard can get the tumor. Gets the tumor. You know it's going to be bad because we're like 10 minutes into the episode and they're like, surgery went great.
Yeah. Like, the title cards were still rolling when Lexi told this guy, yeah, let's go see her now.
She's gonna wake up in a minute.
You killed her, Shondaland. You wrote her own grave. Like, yeah. Not cool.
So that was a bummer for, again, just so sad for Lexi in this episode.
Yeah. Also, April was on one from the second this.
Oh my God, April. Shut the fuck up.
You don't need to interrupt everyone.
And honestly, good for Lexi for like at least being snarky about it.
Yeah.
When she's like, yes, thank you for that, Dr. Kepner.
Yeah. Why is she still here? Why is she back? And then they're actually doing the surgery and April's like, oh my gosh, Derek, Chief Derek is here. I can't focus.
Oh my God. Why is Chief Shepherd watching? Oh my God. Oh, I guess that's the job of the chief. Chief Shepherd's such a good chief.
And Weber is just like, this is my OR.
He's get like, the actually, fuck my out opinion or... is the only one that matters. So why don't you shut up?
He does look kind of menacing up there, though. I wasn't quite sure what he was doing, but he was just sitting there like, yeah, he was like on the phone, but he's like, I'm gonna look like a badass motherfucker.
Yeah, it was unclear, but yeah, he's just like lingering. And he says later that he was just doing it again to like be near the OR. So I guess he wasn't taking Richard's advice of starting every morning with the surgery.
Yeah. Yeah. Idiot. Podcast, John.
So then, April tries to wean Mrs. Clark off of the ventilator. She isn't breathing on her own. They realize that she's had a stroke, so they get her to CT. Apparently, it's just the hugest stroke in the world. Everyone's like, whoa, big bleed, whoa. April takes the scans to Derek, and she's like standing slightly behind him, and she's like, I love you.
Can I have a lock of your hair?
Let me sniff your neck.
This scene was a weird scene. I don't love it. Because when they're like, yeah, massive hemorrhage. You look pretty. Did you know that, Meredith? You look pretty in your scrubs.
Get some coffee?
And then she's like, well, Derek, shut up. What are you going to do about this stroke? And he's like, nothing. Let's go get coffee. Like, she's dead.
Literally nothing. Look how big this bleed is. You want to get some coffee? Like, Jesus Christ. What do you fucking
damn.
Want me to do?
It
if,
was...
if I operate on her, I cannot continue to complain about never getting to operate.
That scene gave me whiplash. There was so much happening.
Jarring. But, I mean, I will say I'm harassing him. But, like, at the end of the day, like, if he probably knows if there's nothing he can do.
Yeah. You could take out all of her lobes, Derek.
Yeah. What about that? Did you think about that, Derek? Did you think about making her like just a zombie person?
Start with the occipital. Also, if you're jumping in, this is your first time listening and you are in the medical field, go back and listen to all these episodes from the beginning because We realize that it's not occipital, it's occipital, and we had a whole lesson about it.
We're going to continue to say occipital because that's funnier to us.
Yeah, and this is a teaching hospital, damn it.
Damn it. Okay, so then they have to tell Mr. Clark that she will, in fact, not wake up, and he does not take that news well.
He kind of goes to the denial step and then lives there for the rest of his life in this episode.
I will say I have some issues with this storyline, so let's get into it. My concern is she has an advanced directive. You know, she doesn't want to be kept alive by a ventilator. She signed it when she was originally diagnosed with cancer and they thought it was going to go differently. So that's his argument as to why they shouldn't have to follow it anymore. However, their argument is we're bound legally by law. He like pushes back and he's like, no, let me talk to whoever's in charge. Like, let me speak to your manager.
Because you're a fucking child, Lexi, a little bitch child.
Well, he doesn't say that, and he's not wrong. She is very young. So they go to Derek and he's like, oh, the ethics committee has like reviewed this case and like, we're going to unplug your wife. It is what it is. Now, I understand from the ethics side, honoring this woman's wishes and being like, we're going to unplug her because it's what she said she wanted. If you're looking at it just from a legal standpoint of like covering the hospital's ass, no one's going to sue you because he says he's the only family there. They have no one else. Who would sue you if you didn't follow her directive? Now, is that right? No. You should honor people's wishes. However, I just feel like if you're doing the chiefly thing of like, oh, I'm just trying to cover my ass if we're bound by law, but who's going to enforce that? Because no one.
I also feel like they would have updated some documents between then and now. Like,
I would hope so, but
I feel like I can't even go to the doctor every 2 weeks without them. I mean, I don't go every 2 weeks, but the dentist every 6 months I go, they go, hey, do we need to update anything on your form? We should do a quick little form.
Every time I would go to the dermatologist in Florida, which was actually a lot because I just had to go a lot.
Humidity.
They would say, do you have an advanced directive? And I would say no. And they would ask me every time, if you become unconscious, do you want us to perform life-saving procedures? And every time I was like, yes. Also, how many people are passing out and going unconscious in this dermatologist's office that you're asking me this every single time I come here?
Well, you know, you go in for some skin cream and you leave dead.
I think it's because truly this is actually, and I'm probably off because I have no medical training. When they say like when they find a mole or anything that they have to remove, they give you a shot of like something that
tequila
numbs the area, but also like makes your heart go like crazy fast. And so maybe that like makes people pass out. I don't know.
This is my first time hearing about this. I've never heard about this before ever.
Well, yeah.
I do need to go to a dermatologist though.
Yeah. Michael has an appointment next week, I think. Mine was 2 weeks ago.
I got to like get into my therapy groove and then I got to get a PCP and then I got to get a dermy.
Yeah. I got to find the new PCP because I did not care for the one that I found, which is such a bummer. And then I got to find a therapist.
Yeah,
that's my next priority.
You could get one in Chicago when you guys move here. We're can introduce you.
We're not doing that.
Also, do you not care about your mental health?
Have the same therapist. No.
Absolutely not.
Anyways,
Jessica and I also don't have the same therapist. I for sure was like, I don't want that. That's where I draw the line.
Well, I think the therapist, if they're a good therapist, would also say no.
Yeah. I did find it a little uncomfy that Weber made Lexi tell this guy.
Weird.
Because she didn't do anything wrong. She never made any promises.
No one did anything wrong.
No, no one did anything. This happened.
This is unfortunate and there's no like source or reason.
Yeah. But when it starts with their conversation of we got good margin, tumor's totally gone, everything's good, she'll be waking up in a few minutes. And then between then and now, obviously things went wrong. But when Weber's like, you're going to go tell that guy that his wife is brain dead and you're going to like it. And I'm like, what?
You're going to like it.
And it's, That's tough.
But also then when he's like, you have to be the one that unplugs her.
And he goes, yeah, that
see
also.
See it through.
Why, Weber?
Through? It's your patient. Like, yes, she's on the case, but so are you. So is April. Like, why is she the one that has to see it through? It was just, I mean, I understood it in the fact that, like, it's supposed to be an impactful episode for Lexi. Like, you know, she's saying, like, she can't not feel the sad things about the patients that they lose. And, like, they obviously give it to her so that she can have that moment with Mark of her being like, how do you not feel? And he goes, well, you have to feel, you have to just kind of learn as you go. And he goes, she was like, how do you do it? And he was like, I'm still learning.
That scene also, Mark is in the midst of 2 10 out of 10 scenes in this episode.
I know.
That scene was 10 out of 10.
So
and
good.
That's kind of the first interaction really that we get with them too. That's kind of like a adult platonic kind of conversation.
Supportive, professional, like just positive all around. I mean, what they're talking about is sad, but the interaction between the two of them is positive and good.
Yeah. It's not like he's saying, well, if you didn't break up with me, maybe I could have told you all my secrets and how I cope.
Maybe you wouldn't be so sad about this lady dying.
Yeah. You know who's not dying? Me. You know what is dying? Our relationship.
So good.
So, yeah, it was a breathtaking scene. Really well done.
Really good.
And then, so 3 hours is what this guy got before they pulled the plug.
I would love to know, because they say, like, take as much time as you need. And then they're like, all right, it's been 3 hours. Let's wrap it up.
As much time as you need that is equal to or less than 3 hours.
Yeah. Take as much time as you need as long as it fits within the timeline that we need it to fit in.
For this episode.
Yeah. So then, yeah. Oh God, the episode, the scene where she's unplugging her and Lexi is like crying and just saying sorry over and over again. And he's just like, please tell me there's a chance that she'll wake up. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so sad. It's just sad.
Yeah.
Hate it. Like, it's just really like just seeing how much it affects Lexi, like, really. I don't know why, like, because there was that scene we had a couple weeks ago when she finds out that Mark asked Teddy out and then she like cries in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And that also really made me sad. I don't know why. Something about seeing her specifically cry really gets to me.
I think, you know, when they write these characters, which is something that we called out in our New York Times interview, hair flip. They make these characters just like relatable enough.
Yeah.
And Lexi feels like a really relatable character to me.
Which is interesting because she has like, you know, when Meredith, like when she first comes and Meredith is like, oh, she has like a perfect life. Like she's really smart and she like had great parents and she like grew up with like a stable childhood, which is definitely, I feel like probably honestly not that relatable to most people. Like
it's the complete opposite to me.
I know. like parts of it are probably relatable to people, but like as a whole, I feel like that's probably not like the big picture that everyone grew up with. And so it's interesting that she's like one of the most likable and relatable characters.
You know what I think it is for me? It's she wears her emotions, and it's not like she doesn't block things out. Like we see Meredith and Christina and Alex kind of shut themselves to certain emotions. Lexi allows herself to feel.
But not so much that Izzy did where it was like, okay,
correct,
it's enough. Like I don't know. She just like balances everything, but still feels like a real person.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's like so interesting. Truly. I hated her so much the first time I watched this show. And like, I just don't know why.
Well, you're welcome. You have someone who's listening or watching for the first time to help even you out.
No, I mean, during rewatches, I haven't hated her, but like, I just even just trying to sit here and be like, but why did I hate her? I don't know.
Yeah, that is interesting. But anyway, so she finally pulls the plug. It's sad. And the guy is like, even if there's less than a 1% chance that she could wake up when you turn that machine off, I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. Sad.
Very sad. They're married for 32 years. And then, like, Derek comes up after Richard is still watching him and he's still sitting there with her after she's been unplugged. It's very sad. And he's like, he just doesn't have anybody. That's it. This was his life.
Yeah. And Weber asked Derek straight up, why were you out there observing me? And Weber said, you know, or Derek said this, that you know that this is as close as I get to a surgery these days. And Weber's like, I'll choose to believe that. Which, when I watched this episode, I forgot that they had that scene last week where he's like giving him the tips.
Yeah.
So this is Derek saying that this is as close as I get to surgery, which means that either he's lying to Weber's face or he's choosing to ignore Weber's advice. Both of them are shitty.
Yeah. Anyways, so you Derek goes home to Meredith and they have a nice moment in the bed again when they like talk about the babies, and Meredith is like coming more around to it. And he's like, so you're thinking about it? And she's like, I'm thinking about it. And then he climbs on top of her and she's like, we're not making the baby right now, right? And he's like, no, we're just practicing, because it's practice makes perfect. Somewhere into practice. Gotta get those reps in.
I gotta go get some practice in tonight. Ooh, child. Can we talk about something that really pissed me off this episode?
Yes.
All of April.
Ugh. Oh, and when Lexi sees her like leering at Derek over this like sobbing man in Derek's office. Like,
what about that is romantic?
If you're going to have a crush, have a crush, have it at the appropriate times.
You walk in on Mark or Derek or Hunt doing push-ups topless. Yeah, sure. Google them. Derek is telling a man that the ethics committee.
In my notes, I wrote that she was ogling him. That's so funny. I used that actual word in my notes.
That's so funny. But like, April, what are you doing?
This man is literally like sobbing and like being like, you're going to kill my wife. If you unplug her, you're killing her.
And Derek says, yes, I'm murdering your wife. And April's like, oh, this man. He's so emotionally stable. This man wants kids.
This man wants kids. He thinks his wife is pretty. I wish I was his wife. Ugh.
I'm going to wear her skin. Then I can be his wife.
Oh, oh no.
Scalpel.
Sorry.
Skin.
Good stuff. So April is not likable in any way or in any point in this episode. And then, Lexi's like, can you not?
And she's like, I'm so stupid.
She's like, I've never felt this way before. That just makes me sad. You've never felt this way, and it's an unrequited way to a married man who is your boss, who like only medium knows you exist.
And then she smiles at him as he leaves the conversation with Weber at the end, and he just walks right by without even like a, oh, hey, April, how's it going? She smiles at him, and he does not even see her, doesn't even cross the radar.
Yeah, because he's married, and he likes his wife, as he should.
I still give people the Midwest smile as I walk by them.
Well, he doesn't. If you don't even see her, then it's like...
Well, it's fair. Yeah. April's fucking dumb. I'm having a hard time as a first time watcher finding anything I like about April at all.
Yeah.
I'm sure she will have some sort of arc the way that I felt about Alex. And I didn't like, well, I guess I still really don't like Charles. And Reed is non-existent. I don't know where Reed is. Can't get a read on that one.
I don't know where she is. Not in this episode. That's
not in this episode. So. And Izzy and Alex are getting divorced. I want to just, bring that back full circle. Any notes that we didn't talk through?
A couple things. I did want to just say this. This is every conversation you and I have ever had when Christina and Teddy are talking. And Teddy says, stick it out because he loves you. She says, he just needs time. And Christina goes, he needs therapy. And that is me.
Then
when Lexi confronts April and then goes, this day sucks, I hate this day. It was just good stuff.
I also do want to call out,
go ahead,
when Christina and Meredith see each other in the hallway after Christina's like, or Meredith's like, I have been trying to talk to call you 10 times.
Oh, yeah.
Derek is stupid. He wants a baby. And then Meredith, and then Christina was like, yeah, Hunt's in a dark place. And men really are stupid or some shit like that. It was just funny. It's a cute, it's a cute scene.
Christina's like, oh, I had to turn my phone off because in case Owen wants to talk and he doesn't because men suck. And then Meredith is like, yeah, Derek wants to have babies with me. And Christina's like, ugh, men suck.
They really are stupid.
Oh, and then the last scene when Mark is eating chocolate off of Teddy and she's like, I need to tell you something, which I guess is that she's in love with Owen. I don't know what else she would have told him in that moment. I don't really know. And then
you do know.
You don't know if I know. who knows? And then Sloan shows up.
Oh, yeah. Forgot.
My favorite thing to do when I'm in labor is go to someone's apartment.
Yeah.
And not go to the hospital they live across the street from.
Yep. It's the safest. It's safer. I've read than the water births, you know.
You know, just apartment so births to just go right into those apartments.
Yep. Body chocolate and everything.
Yeah.
Belly buttons and navels galore.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Sloane, you suck.
Did you miss her?
No. And you know what's the worst part about that is Mark just got okay.
Yeah.
Mark just made it. Mark just got his closure and he just got his mojo back. And Sloane came in to ruin everything.
Yep.
So, anyways, that's, I think, the end of the episode.
Yeah, I don't think I have any. Did you have any randos you needed to add in there?
Let me just do one more quick scan. I don't think I do. It is worth talking about how, circling back one more time, I just want to make sure that we all know Alex and Aaron fight scene was cool. I liked that.
Love a good headbutt.
Love a good headbutt. I think that's it.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Cool. You want to rate it?
Yeah.
Go for it.
No one at me, please. This episode is a 3.4.
I was going to say 3.5.
I just almost said like, 3.5, and I, at the last episode, second, changed 3.4.
Everybody does a good job in it, but there's just so much not closure. Whatever the opposite of closure is, that's what this episode is.
Open-ended. A lot of open-endedness.
Yeah.
Up in the air.
Just a lot of, but now what?
No resolution to anything.
So you predicted that Arizona and Callie will break up next episode?
Yeah, next episode.
Next two episodes.
Correct. Before the finale, I think they're done. I think they're broken up. Again, or there could be a chance that Arizona decides that she wants to have kids and Callie's worth it. I just have a hard time with that being a cliche in TV shows because it's not fair to the other person. There is going to be a potential resentment that I'm giving up something that I have always wanted, which for Arizona is to not have kids. I've given it up for you, so you should give something up for me. It becomes an area of resentment that is tough, and I don't know how people can get through that. So I hope that's not the case. I hope that they're able to just stay like amicable and break up and be okay, but I also like them together. I like Arizona and Callie together.
Right.
So it's tough, but I think they're going to break up before. My official prediction is they break up before the series, the season finale.
What about Lexi and Alex, or Lexi in general?
They'll keep boning. Lexi is going to catch April making a move on Derek somehow. That's what I'm predicting that.
Okay. Anything for Richard?
We're going to get Adele. Also before the season 6 finale, we're going to get Adele before. I think Adele is going to show up in a dramatic way. Maybe Adele dies. I would hate that. What if they kill Adele? That would suck.
You think Owen kills Adele?
I don't want that to happen. But when Owen kills, it will be.
When Owen kills.
When Owen attacks. when Owen's on the hunt.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. Put that on a shirt. Owen's on the hunt.
The hunt for people to scream at.
Yeah. The hunt for Red Arizona. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm nervous. I think Adele's going to die, though. Yeah, I got a feeling that Adele will get the case of the deads.
A case from the sneeze?
A case of the murders from the sneeze. Just like Susan. And in a true plot twist, it will be revealed that Adele was Susan all along.
Who else do I need you to predict things for?
We're going to get Izzy back too. Izzy will be back in person before the end of the season.
Okay. Meredith and Derek.
They're going to make babies. And then Derek will die in delivery.
Okay. Complications from childbirth is what kills Derek.
Secondhand trauma.
Christina and Owen.
I don't want them to be together, but honestly, I think they're going to be able to work through it. I think Owen Hunt is going to figure his shit out. I hope he does. Christina deserves something good. And she clearly likes the guy. She's willing to put her life at risk every time the man walks into a room.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anything else to predict. Do you have any rogue ones you want to throw out? I mean, you already said that everybody's just dying left and right. You already said Adele's going to die.
We're going to get the return of Thatcher sometime soon.
Okay. What about, I think previously you had said that Richard's going to be chief at the end of season 6. Are you still holding on that?
I feel good about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Teddy and Owen and Mark are going to be a throuple.
Yeah. I really am not looking forward to this Sloane storyline.
Oh yeah. Do you want to like say anything with that?
The baby's going to be fine and she's going to leave with it again. And she's going to break Mark's heart again. And Mark's going to have sex with Olivia.
Why is Olivia there?
Because she delivers Sloane's baby.
The baby's coming now. The drama.
Yeah. Olivia walks in. Does somebody need a nurse? Paging nurse Olivia to the Sloane residence.
All right. Well, I guess that's it.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, we don't have much else. So we'll see you next week for 2 episodes. Yay.
Yeah.
We're getting close to the finale for the season because this was 19. There's 24 episodes, so 5 to go. Carmen's sinking into his chair, probably because it's after midnight. Well, it's after midnight at my house. It's not after
I was up at 3:30 this morning, so yeah. I had to go help another store with inventory.
Gross. All right, well, yeah. We're going to go to bed now, but thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate it. We really love getting the emails and chatting with you guys either on email, graysacademypod@gmail.com, or Instagram, graysacademypod. And it's just really cool to like the more and more of you reach out and like it's just kind of cool to like put names with just like knowing that we have people who listen, but then like putting names to it is really cool. If you want to join our Patreon, you will get access to our Discord, which is pretty active. We have several different chats in there that we do on a regular basis, going back and forth and just talking to each other about Grays, about non-Grays, all kinds of things. So we love that community. Everyone is obviously invited to join us there. And we just really appreciate you guys. We hope you keep sharing. Post about it on all the social medias. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody you see on the street. But if you see Carmen on the street, just remember.
No spoilies. Don't even think about spoiling the show. We will not forgive you. We would avenge the death of my innocence. But we do appreciate you all. and we will see you all in the next one.